Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Healing Spirit and Beyond. I am your hostess for the evening. This is Roxy Zwicker. My wonderful co-host is off in one of the places that is on my bucket list. She is off in Sleepy Hollow, New York. So I will look forward to hearing about all of Carrie's adventures when she comes back next week. She's already given me a little bit of a glimpse that she's gone off to the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, which I'm so excited to hear more about. So she is off this week, but to never fear, we will be having an amazing show tonight with a very special guest. And I am so excited to bring him on this week because he's going to be telling us a lot about this new event that he's got coming up next week. And, well, I'll just bring him on and we'll get started. Hey, Ron, are you there?
Of course I am. How could I not be for you?
Great to talk to you. How's it going?
Excellent, excellent. Just got back from VZ with Jim Stonier and Ron Jr., and we were checking out the trails for the Blair Witch ghost hunt. So, yeah, it's coming together.
It's almost a week away.
That's right.
I can't believe it.
Days.
It's almost here. Oh, my God. We're down. It's 12 days. The big countdown. So Ron is the founder of the New England Ghost Project, and Ron and I go back, I'd say probably at least 10 years now. We've gone on some investigations together. We've talked to ghosts many, many times on his show. He tends to always try to hold the scientific side of things down, but I really think he's a true believer deep down inside. So so tonight we're going to talk about the event that's coming up at the VZ Estate, which is Spirit Quest, Book of Shadows. And I actually had some questions for Ron based on a few odd things that happened on my tours just this past weekend. So maybe you can give me a little insight on some weirdness that happened. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
All right. So Sunday, we did our Sunday edition of the Shadows and Stone Cemetery tour, which I'm sure if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me talk about how we connect with the spirit of Elizabeth there, and then we find out what she has to say for the evening and then what she has to say about the people that are on the tours. And one of the interesting questions that came up from a young man who was probably about 12 years old, he was inquiring as to whether or not it was his grandfather that was with him, and the rod said yes. But then he asked about the color of heaven, and he said it was yellow. Now, Ron, what have you heard about heaven? What have you come across?
Well, hopefully no one's peeing in the snow.
Nice.
Or the clouds. I don't know. I've never heard that heaven was yellow. No, I haven't. That's a new one for me.
Well, he thought that it was the energy of his grandfather, because he said he took a walk with his grandfather through heaven and the sky wasn't blue, that it was yellow because he was seeing all this energy that was there. And I thought it was pretty sharp for a kid that was, you know, again, probably 11, 12 years old, totally serious, totally missing his grandfather, who came up when we were doing our dowsing. But yellow, do you think that's something that you would see this yellow energy? I mean, who knows, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we don't know, and we all have our own preconceived thoughts of what heaven would be or the afterlife would be, and that's how we really paint it, is through our own eyes, which is what we see most of realities, through our own senses and thoughts and what we've been taught and what we believe. So, you know, we don't know. It could be very well yellow. Everything could be red, for all I know, or black. Ooh, that would be bad.
Heaven is black. I thought it was interesting because he was completely in the moment, and like I said, his grandfather was there, and he was absolutely certain that he was in heaven. And when we asked Elizabeth about that, the spirit that's on the other side that we connect with, she said that it could be any color, and she totally said there was a concept of heaven, that there was a place that spirits could go. So aside from the color, would you say that there is some sort of heaven that's out there where the spirits go, or do you think that they just reincarnate and come right back, or is it both?
Well, you know I don't believe in reincarnation, so that's definitely off the table for me. But as far as heaven, you know, I'm a good old Catholic boy, so I believe in heaven. But, you know, even if I wasn't Catholic, I would believe there is a place. It's what we call it. I mean, I call it heaven because, once again, it's seen through my eyes of my Catholic upbringing. But it is a place where I assume all spirits are together. It could be this greater consciousness that we have, or whatever it is. But, you know, I mean, we really, really, really never know until we go to on the other side ourselves and experience it for ourselves. And maybe that's why. And the other thing is, you know, people say, well, you know, why can't you tell us? Why can't the spirit tell us what exactly what it looks like? He's saying it's yellow. But maybe it is beyond our perception and beyond our description.
I think that's a really smart thought, because we can't conceive of where it is. And then, you know, I sometimes try to think of it in the sense of, so if heaven is this place that everybody goes to, at this point, you know, it would be so crowded. There'd be so many people there. I mean, how, you know, I can't even conceive of something like that on our terms. You know, that's why I always wonder if it's kind of a place that people go and then they move on to someplace else, or they come back.
See, that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking of people in terms. So I would assume, and that from what we can tell, is there really, I don't know, bodies there. So, it, you know, as far as energy is whatever. You can have tons of energy in a very small space, or you can have it in a great expanse. So if you're part of this greatest consciousness, and we are some type of spiritual energy, then you know, it's we really can't fathom as a cup. You know, it's not something that can hold things, because it's beyond time, space, and dimension.
Okay. So it makes total sense. So now when we look at a cup that can hold, you know, millions and millions of tiny particles and you know, tiny atoms and just the most minuscule bit of energy that's there. So would you say that, you know, that's kind of similar to, you know, putting everybody that's passed in a cup, having all their energies, you know, being immeasurable?
Well, the thing is, it's, to me anyways, is that it's not a physical space, so therefore there is no limitations to the size of it, or the size of the consciousness. I mean, I know that you're a medium, and you can speak to the dead, and you can get messages from the dead, and they tell you things, but they tell you things in a perspective that we can understand, maybe because we can't possibly understand what it's really like, because there are no, you know, none of our physical laws apply to the other side or whatever. So, it, you know, it's beyond beyond comprehension. So I think that's kind of, and if you're a medium, you know that you only get bits and pieces. You don't get like these long narrations of saying, okay, well, you know, I'm going, you know, and they give you this whole story. They don't. They give you little bits and pieces of things that will hit a nerve or connect with something that we can understand.
Well, see, and I agree with that, because I think that we wouldn't be able to wrap our minds around really what is out there and really what happened. So that's why we are given the glimpses. I think you're definitely, you know, hitting the nails on the head right there. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to go there, I would love to talk for a minute about, because you had your own near death experience.
I did.
Kind of what got you more
too,
and more on this
even
road.
Get to that one.
Oh geez, all right. Now during that experience, did you get a glimpse of, you know, they talk about the light, or you're up over your body? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the standard where you're floating over your body. One, no, I never had that. Mine was very, very simple. I was in a different place, in a different it's kind of hard. I was going to say different time, but a different place. I mean, there was all brightness around me, total whiteness, and there were other people in quotes around me. In other words, there were figures. I couldn't see anything, or otherwise, because they were so bright. Everything was so very, very white. And it was, and this is the really corny part, it was actually, the only way I can describe it is angelic music. It was very, very, this music was so soothing and peaceful, and it was also a feeling of warmth that was, you know, there's a Madonna song, like a prayer, and there's a line in there that says, feels like home, and that's what it feels like. It's like if you've gone over a long trip, and then you finally get to your house, you open the door, and you walk in, you get that feeling of warmth and comfort, and that's what it was. And you know, the whole thing, the interesting thing about it was it just all disappeared like the closing of an iris. It just, all the brightness, the figures, everything, the music, there was no brightness. It was just the dim lights of the ICU. There was no people there. There was no angelic music, just the heartbeat on the monitor, and there certainly was not warm in here either.
Now, do you think there's a reason why you came back and didn't continue with what you had seen?
I'm sure they don't want me. Most people know me.
That's a whole other story there.
Yeah. You know, most people know me as know I'm a pain in the ass. They just say, oh, we're not having him up here. I don't know. I really don't know. I always wondered that and contemplated that. And of course, my life's changed since then, and I've gone through a lot.
She became a saint after that.
No, not quite. you know, it's interesting. I don't know why I didn't. I know I don't fear death now. I'm certainly not volunteering, because I have Jan, and I know it would be difficult for her without me. So that's the main reason that keeps me here, but I don't fear death anymore. My time comes, and I've had many opportunities to go, and for some reason, they haven't decided to call my number yet.
Your number hasn't come up yet.
No, evidently
so,
not.
So with this notion that you don't fear death, mm-hmm. is it because you know that you're going back to that place, that's a place that's available to you?
I think so. I really do. I mean, it's just, as I mentioned, I had another, that one is when I had cut my fingers off and I went in the hospital and they put them back together and everything else, but I ended up with a pulmonary embolism. If those who don't know, it's a blood clot that travels to the lung and is usually fatal. So that was that one. Then the second time is I had a heart surgery, and I had a very similar event, the same thing with the white light, the home feeling, the comfort, but except the angelic music was not there. What I heard was water running like a stream, and I heard birds. It's totally different. But the same thing, the closing of the iris, and I was back. So it all just went. So I don't know what it is, what it's like, but I don't fear death. I mean, it's something I can't control anyway, so why fear it?
No, and that's true. You know, we're all going to meet the same ends at some point. It's just a matter of when and where. And
exactly.
I think for a lot of people that, you know, I run into, whether it's on the tours or doing the seances or doing readings, that is something that stops people in their tracks, especially when we talk about spirit, because they're so afraid of their own death that they can't even conceive of what's on the other side. When we start talking about spirits being around them and why they're there, they really do get freaked out about that sometimes, and some people don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because of fear of the unknown, fear of a lot of things. Some people, as my friend Richard Felix always says, some people fear because of religion. They're afraid that they didn't live a good life and they're going to go to hell and whatever. We don't know, but a lot of people do fear death. But, you know, the interesting thing is I mentioned about this great place and everything else, but yet I'm a ghost hunter, so I look for spirits in this realm. So why are spirits in this realm if this place is really so cool and everything? And I think there's a lot of reasons because of that. First of all, I don't believe that spirits are like, you know, stuck anywhere. They have free will like they have in life, and in death they still have free will. And if they don't want to go, perhaps they don't want to go. Or maybe they've come back for a reason to help someone or whatever. It's a whole multi-layers. We don't know all that's going on the other side. But, you know, it's interesting. That's why I do it. I want to learn more.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, no matter how many connections we make, we're kind of junkies on it. We want to hear more. We want to see what different spirits are telling us about different places and how they're connected, because I have no two stories that are the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're all so different, and I've got hundreds of stories. And
I mean,
everybody's experience is different.
Yeah, look at your graveyard ghost. Elizabeth is the name. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So why would she be here if she was stuck here? Well, you think that, or is she here because that somewhere along the line she knew that she would meet up with you and she could help so many more people?
Well, and that's one of the things that we've asked her is, you know, the usual questions: are you looking for the light? Are you stuck here? Is there more that you need to do?
Yeah.
And she's just here to help make that connection. You know, I don't know if you wanted, my husband tends to think that that's where her spirit or her soul has evolved to, that she is here willingly to help people. And that is truly what she does. How people react to what she brings forward for them is always very interesting, and whether or not they choose to act on that is certainly on them. But every single time it's different. And like I said, there's no two stories that are alike. And, you know, she's always on. She's always, always there. It's not like, you know, we go there and, oh, she's not here, you know, this week. She's always there. So, you know, I asked her about the concept of time. Did you notice how long ago it was since we were here? And she doesn't notice any of that. She doesn't even notice the clothes that we wear. I think she just sees us as energy. And she sees the spirits that come in with us as that energy. So I feel like I'm getting such an education just by being there all the time. But, you know, the more I learn, the more questions you have, and you know that.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I mean, I think that's why we do it, because there's so much learning to be done.
Yeah, and I think if I did this for another 20 years, I still wouldn't have all the answers. The intrigue grows more and more. And I don't know if it's always just because I want to, you know, help people make that connection and understand some of the things that I understand, but it just fascinates me, you know, that they're always on, and all you have to do is have that awareness. And for some people, it's, you know, it's so funny, because I hear all the time, yeah, I knew there was a spirit there, but I never really looked into it. Now I totally understand it. It's like people reach that tipping point where either they're going to find out more about it or they're just going to walk around questioning it. And questioning it, I'm so anxious. I'm like, I want to help you find those answers, but, you know, it's everybody's readiness, I guess.
And the interesting thing about it, even though I've had those experiences, and especially the first one, which was really traumatic for me, I always looked at it and said, well, I don't know, maybe it was the drugs they gave me. And that's what got me along the ghost hunting path, was because I had this experience, and also that my manufacturing place was haunted, even though I had never saw anything. Everybody who worked for me told stories about people that weren't there and to how they talked to them and saw them and heard them and all this stuff. So that's how I got involved in it. I wanted to learn more about what I had experienced and also what these other people are experiencing. And I think that's what the paranormal is all about, the experience.
Yeah, I think it's about the experience too. And, you know, people are gonna take it differently. You know, we can have you in the room, me in the room, and 10 other people in the room. We're all gonna experience it differently.
Exactly.
It's then the coming together and seeing what the similarities are, I think, is always the interesting part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, trying to figure it out in our own little minds is the interesting thought. And that's why I never, like, I'll never tell you in black and white, it's like this or it's like that. This is what I believe. This is what I always say. This is what the thought is. This is what the theory is. Because we really, really don't know. And, you know, we get experiences. And in the many, many, many years I've done it, you know, my opinions have changed on certain things. But I've always gone in skeptical and but open-minded enough to see if there's any validity in some of this stuff. So that's what makes it interesting.
So out of all these years, aside from your own personal experience and personal experiences, what would you say was like one of the defining moments where you said, I just don't know where that came from?
I'm not sure what that question is.
What was one of the times you were really certain that you were dealing with the unexplained?
Oh, the unexplained. There's
you
a lot
walked
of
away and you said that I still just can't explain what happened there. You know, there's no science to it.
Well, I mean,
when
you see a person who's evidently not there, I mean, that's pretty, you know, clear that, you know, okay, I saw this. I know what I saw. I'm pretty sure what I saw, I said, because we never really always know. But, you know, you look at the different circumstances and, you know, you say, okay, that was thing. Or when you're standing in front of 35 people and a book comes flying off the shelf past you into the audience, then, you know, that's kind of interesting too. So there's tons of these little pieces that make it really interesting.
Well, that's definitely for sure. I mean, to see something move, which I have to, and one of the stories that I think really sticks with me that I tell people that really gets them going happened with you when we were over in Molly Malone's in Portsmouth, when we were doing the live radio show there, and you put the $2 on the table as a trigger device because that's how much it cost.
$2
back in the day. Yep,
$2
And there was a man who was sitting in the chair, and he said a woman sat in his lap, and he had his hands out like he was holding her. But then we looked at the monitor that was in front of him, and you could see the folds of a dress in front of his legs. And it was unmistakable. I mean, there they were. And that story is still... it still gets me, and it still gets my tour guests, and they're like, what? And I'm like, that's all we saw. We just saw the folds of her dress. We didn't see the rest of her. And it's so cool when you see that, because you clearly knew that was not his legs. He wasn't wearing the dress. So,
right.
So, yeah, that's one of my favorite stories.
You know, that's the interesting you mentioned about that, just with the folds of the dress. And, you know, I have come across so many people who have witnessed similar things, and that, you know, at the Wynn, the restaurant where I do the Dining with the Dead, for instance, there's a gentleman that worked there, and he called me up one time, and he had no longer working there for a while, but he says, I got a story I got to tell you because it's been bugging me. He says, I was upstairs cleaning and vacuuming, and then I looked across the hall, and I saw a little boy go running down the hall. And the interesting thing, he said, is I only saw his bottom half, and it was in black and white. So that, you know, why did we see it that way? Why did he see it that way? You know, and like, why do we only see the rustle of the dress? Is it some type of dimensional thing, or is it where, like, you know, the old veil was the thinnest? Maybe that was a point where the veil was really thin, but it wasn't broken enough to show the whole child or the whole girl.
Well, see, and that's kind of when I start to go down that street too. Is that, you know, there, you know, if we could only see what they see on their side of things too, you know, how much do they see of us? Is it just our energy
point.
That they see, or do they see the details of us as well? Because mm-hmm. I think it's so mutual that, you know, we are going where those thin spots are.
That's a good point.
I love that story.
Yeah, it could be like, you know, you're looking through a tear in a sheet or something where you only see a certain portion. That's all you can see within our space or whatever. You know, that it's been torn there. You can see that, and that's all you can see. So I don't know. Who knows? It's interesting.
That's more. You just get that little teaser. You don't get any more.
Of course, I remember Molly Malone being in the bathroom with the lock that locks itself, and of course, no longer did I just get in there, and what happened? It locked. that was cool. I mean, it was really, you know, here was a story that was reported over and over and time again, that the stall in the woman's bathroom, that when you went in it, it would lock itself when you weren't near it at all. And that's exactly what happened to me that night at the radio show. I went into the woman's stall and turned around, and I saw it lock, which was kind of cool.
Which is so cool because you have to pick up the lock and slide it. It's not
right.
Like it just flops over.
It's a deadbolt. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a deadbolt lock. Yeah.
So no, that was so cool. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for someone to buy that building so we can get back in there again.
That would be fun, huh?
It's just sitting there and nature's taking over.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of nature and mm-hmm. nature spirits, you mentioned that you were over at VZ today. And for the listeners that don't know who or what VZ is, can you explain a little bit about what the estate is? And then we'll get into the exciting event that's coming up.
Oh, sure. VZ Estate, as I call it, is actually called VZ Memorial Park, but I have dubbed it VZ Estate because originally it was the summer home of Haverhill Industrious Arthur VZ. And he would go up there and they would fish and shoot, and he'd bring his family up there in the summertime, because back then they didn't have air conditioning, and so you could go to a cool place like that when the summer was to get away from the heat of the city. So anyways, that's the original place. And eventually it was purchased several times down the line, and an order of sisters owned it at one time. It was also where they cared for mentally challenged mothers, and there's a lot of uses that have occurred. It was a park house on there at one time, and so it, that's what it is anyways. That's the right now it's VZ Memorial Park. It's owned by the city of Groveland, and it's a recreational area.
And it's in Massachusetts, if you don't know.
Yeah,
what
Groveland, Massachusetts. Yep,
yeah.
Groveland, Massachusetts. High up on a hill, which is really, really cool, on the banks of Johnson Pond. So it's really neat. Go ahead.
There's a lot of different areas to explore there, and I think that's what's so cool, because each spot, you've got the old buildings, but then you've got trails, and you're down by the water, and you know there's really a lot to see there.
Oh, there is. There absolutely is. The trails. We just got back to, as I mentioned, because we had to go and check them out for the Blair Witch Ghost Hunt, which is occurring as part of Spirit Quest. which this year is called Spirit Quest Book of Shadows, and it explores witchcraft and ghost hunting combined the two. So we've taken stolen a little bit of Hollywood from it, and we've got the Blair Witch Ghost Hunt, where you go pretty much like Blair Witch into the woods and investigate there, and also the House in the Hill. And then we have a series of we have Dining with the Dead, of course, which will be Friday night, and that will be a dinner. But also, it is Friday night. It's the beginning of the Witches' Holiday, of which I can never say. But it's the beginning of a Witches' Holiday of fall of Thanksgiving. And so it will be a special opening for that. During there, we're going to have an altar, a Witches' Altar, where we can have a remembrance of the dead. And you can leave messages for those who have passed beyond. And at the end of the Spirit Course on Sunday, we will read the messages and burn them. And give the messages to the dead. So it's going to be a lot of fun all day on Saturday and Sunday. Will be speakers and workshops. You're going to be there, of course, and I believe you're doing the Witch's Ladder. And so that's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun event.
No, it should be. It should be really awesome. And you know, I'm looking forward to doing the Witch's Ladder, and then I'll be doing colonial stories about witches outside of Salem, Massachusetts. Believe it or not, Salem did not really corner the market on crazy colonial stories. I think the whole Blair Witch Ghost Hunt is really cool. I'm just wondering, like, if everybody's going to get the little caps and all have their noses running as they run through the woods.
No, it could happen. But it'll be fun.
Anything could happen.
We're actually marking the trails with the stick figures, the stick men from Blair Witch.
Are you making those yourself?
A member of my team, Janet Rucker, is, yes.
Oh, nice. That's going to be kind of cool.
So we've integrated different parts of the real Blair Witch story into the event itself. So, you know, as much as we want to make it fun as well as interesting as far as experience in the paranormal, there's no reason you can't have a little fun with it as well. In fact, you know, I know on, I think it's Saturday or Sunday? I believe it's Sunday. I will be with Kelly Witch, Kelly Spangler, who was on the Ghost Adventurers in Salem Witch House. She and I will be working a workshop on the witch board, which is another name for the Ouija board or the spirit board. And we have a replica of the board that was used in a 1986 cult classic witch board. And and I have a giant one made up that a lot of people will be using at once as well. Not a giant one, but a very big one. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm totally looking forward to that, like a whole group session with the witch board. I think that's a fabulous idea. It's going to be really cool. I think we should, like, shut the lights out and stuff. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. And I saw the regular board that you're going to be using, and it's pretty amazing. It totally looks the part.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because, it's when I was planning this event, I ordered the this guy hand makes them. It's a handmade board. And there is no board that they used in the movie left. This is handmade. But I also bought a movie poster from the actual movie. And if you look in the movie poster, it's a different board than the one that they used in the movie, which is kind of interesting. Because when I got the poster and I got the board, and I said, oh, I got screwed. I said, this ain't the one. It's not it. But then I looked at the movie again, and yes, it was the same board that was used in the movie.
That's really weird. Again, you know, they missed a marketing opportunity there. I mean,
yeah, I know.
People are so into these boards. You know, they'd be like worth a couple bucks right now if they had made.
Oh, look at Ouija. The movie just came out. They didn't make a board for that, which I cannot believe. And that was sponsored by Hasbro. So figured I went out.
Yeah, that's totally bizarre. I don't understand. I actually yesterday I went over, we have the Spirit Halloween store in Portsmouth that just opened up, and they had a whole rack full of Ouija stuff. I bought myself a Ouija blanket. So
oh,
I figure,
cool.
like, if I'm in my sleep, like, if I want to send messages out, I can do that through the blanket.
There you go.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
The blanket's one huge board. It's, like, awesome. And they had
Ken could be doing the Ouija board and giving you a back rub at the same time.
Oh, I like that. I think that's pretty cool. I'll have to give him that idea. They had Ouija socks and shot glasses and tumblers and Ouija everything. Of course, they had some Ouija boards, which aren't as cool as the old boards that we grew up with. But, yeah, I mean, people love that stuff. But I'm going to keep mine out year-round, not just for Halloween.
Yeah. And I'll actually have Ouija mouse pads on sale at SpiritQuest, too.
Oh, cool. Does anybody use mouse pads anymore? I think it's just really cool.
Mm-hmm. Those are cool. It's going to be neat.
Nice.
It's going to be a lot of things. Another thing we're going to be doing, which is interesting too, is the Leslie Martin and Maureen Wood will be teaching witching, which is the old term for dowsing, and they'll do a workshop on it. But as in conjunction with that, we are also having a treasure hunt at VZ. We did this last year. We have a map of VZ, and you can actually do map dowsing and then go out and Steve Parson, our parapsychologist from the UK, will be here, and he's going to hide 6 coins, and he hides them very well. And you can go out and douse for these cords, or witch for these cords, I mean these coins, and if you find them, you win the prize associated with them, which is really, really cool. Because last year we hid 6 of them, and 5 of the 6 were found through dowsing. So.
Now, when people were dowsing, did you notice if several people were drawn to the same space, or once it was found, they just moved on? I wondered how that energy worked.
I really don't know, because
it's
an independent thing. In other words, this is part of the – we have a room that's set up there, and we have the map there, and we have some exhibits and stuff, and people go in and browse in their time, and the map dowsing they do on their own. It's not part of any class or anything. They can do it at any time. And that's the other thing at SpiritQuest. We're going to have readers there as well. I know that you're going to be doing readings, and Leslie Martin will be doing readings, and Kelly Spang will be doing readings, and Anne will be doing henna as well. And I guess you can get a Van Helsing henna tattoo, so you can be a Van Helsing girl too, I guess.
Whoa, that is worth the price of admission right there. Wow.
I hear.
That's pretty awesome.
And everybody that does that will have a picture of it at the end, and there might be some special awards, I'm not saying, but there might be.
You heard it here. Now, if you want to get tickets to this event, it's anyghostproject.com, the letter N, the letter E, ghostproject.com. And I think you have the entire schedule updated now on there, so you know what's going on each day. But you can buy tickets for all 3 days. And that's really kind of the best deal. So you get to do everything. And there'll be people selling stuff as well, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah, vendors. We have vendors there. Lots of
vendors. Goodies.
Yeah.
Nice.
Handmade stuff. We'll have all that cool stuff. Van Helsing Special Blend will be available for the first time ever.
Special blend of what? Is it a tea?
It's a protection spray.
A protection spray, really?
Yeah, if you read up Maureen and my book, Ghost Chronicles, the special blend is mentioned many, many times throughout the book and the results of using it. And so after people have been bugging the crap out of me for many years now, I've decided to produce it commercially, and Leslie Martin and myself are doing it. It's a special blend that I make up, and it's in a special bottle with an attached silver cross. It's a Reiki-infused bottle, and it even has the St. Michael's prayer on the bottle as well. So it's a special protection for those who need that a little extra.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So why the mix of witchcraft and the paranormal for Spirit Quest this year? How did it come up?
Well, it's not really the mix of witchcraft and paranormal. It's more the mix of witchcraft and ghost hunting. Paranormal is a general term that means all things. But witchcraft is often misunderstood, but basically they do a thing. They deal with spirit, and ghost hunting is the same thing. It's awful times looked at pseudoscience, but yet is searching for the same things that the witch is. So last year we did spiritualism and ghost hunting, and this year is witchcraft. So we're going to look at the witchcraft, basically. What is it, and the misdemeanors, and what is Hollywood and what isn't, and so it's kind of cool. And it's a theme
too. And a lot of what people think about witchcraft is so Hollywood. There's so much of it that's misunderstood. And certainly here in New England, it's been misunderstood since the 1600s. I mean, nobody's really gotten it right yet. If you just open up any book, you really got to look beyond all of that. There's so much more to it. I think it's a great combo. I think it's a great combo to put together because I totally see them crossing paths. And, this is really, really cool. And I think you told me you guys are going to be doing spell work, too, with Kelly. You're doing, prosperity
Kelly,
spell.
Yeah, so you can probably get your money back. Yeah, the other, Kelly Spangle, of course, is, a Salem witch, and she was on the, as I mentioned before, the Ghost Adventure show with Christian Day at the Salem Witch House. And she will be doing spell casting. That will be one of her workshops. She will also be taking part with me in mine as well, which is the witch board. And also, I forgot to mention, too, is of course my co-host from Ghost Chronicles International, UK parapsychologist Steve Parson, is coming over too again. He was there last year, and he'll be lending his parapsychological brain to this mess. And he'll be, I know he's going to be talking about Yod English witches, so he'll talk about what was going on at the time and before and after our witch trials. And he will also be talking about smart ghost hunting, which is the modern tools of the ghost hunter. So that should be interesting as well.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, with all that's going on, do you think that we'll be able to stir up any spirits on the property?
Oh, you don't have to stir them up. They're there all the time. Are you kidding me? On the property and the house, we've had... I mean, I used to teach paranormal CSI for Northern Essex Community College out of there, and that was really, really an interesting thing, is that everybody had to follow the evidence as part of it, and they all had to come up with who was haunted there and why and everything. It was kind of interesting. That place is definitely smoking.
Not because it's on fire, just because it's so haunted.
Yeah, it's part of
it. I am excited. Go ahead.
No, I mean, there's going to be other stuff, too. Christy Parrish is going to be there, and she'll be doing ghost tech, which is interesting because she makes, actually, equipment up. She goes on a certain theory, and she comes up with some equipment, and a lot of the stuff she buys from the dollar store, so you don't have to spend $200 or $300 or $400 for stuff. She can show you some ghost hunting equipment that, hey, might be pretty cool. So,
like a DIY, like a do-it-yourself ghost hunter kit.
Sure,
no way. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So she'll be there doing that, and Jim Stoney, our EVP specialist, will be doing a special workshop on haunted items and some experiments with helping the dead to speak. So that's going to be cool. And I'm trying to think. Josh Mantello will be up there. He'll be talking about photographing the paranormal, some of the interesting concepts that he has, which is really, really cool. Anne Carrigan, my co-host from Next Generation, will be there. She'll be talking about some of the famous witches' graves from around the world. So that'll be kind of cool. I'm trying to think who else is going to be there on it. Tim McGuire from Haunted Witch City Tours will be talking about Haunted Salem. So just, and I will be talking about the Bell Witch as well, which is one of my favorite subjects.
So was the Bell Witch really a witch?
No.
Or was it a ghost? Or was it both?
It was. I don't think it was a witch. I really don't think it was a witch. I really believe that it's an entity of some sort. What it is, we really don't know. I mean, there are similar cases around the world, but nothing as proliferated as that one. And, you know, I'm going to be different. It's not the Hollywood production. You're going to get the real story from me. It won't be based on any, sightseeing tour or Hollywood production. This will be more of the historic aspects of the case.
Nice. Well, that's what I prefer. Is the base in history. I think everybody misses that, you know, when they do this Hollywood stuff, you just miss it. It drives me nuts.
I mean, you have written so many books on the paranormal and haunted places and everything, and you get the eyewitness tales and stories from them. They just, you know, you just, you know, after a while, you're just like, wow, that's cool. But you're not, like, astonished by what happens. You kind of expected almost. Do you think so, or are you just like, wow, every time?
You know, I have to say probably about 50% of the time I am really wowed, you know, after
really?
I talk to
yeah.
somebody on a tour. And, yeah, because it's, you know, again, like I was saying earlier, there's always so many new stories or different things that have happened. And when I've been talking about one particular building and then I get a new layer of ghost stories on it, I am totally wowed. We have a building in Portsmouth who's owned by, we call him Attorney Charlie. And Attorney Charlie had come on the tour and he was telling me, you know, how haunted the building was. And it was, you know, originally owned by Frank Jones. And it's just this fabulous place. And the story was, it was these twin 8-year-old boys that were playing in the dentist's office, which was in the house. It was their dad's. And he was gone, and mom was busy doing mom things, and the two boys were playing with the instrumentation, and one sat the other in the chair and went and turned on the ether and put the mask on his face and left the room to get a soda and came back 5 minutes later and looked at his twin brother dead in the chair.
Oh.
So the dentist, it was about 1967. So the dentist moved the family right out of Portsmouth. I actually had people on my tours who were his patients who said they never even got a postcard or a phone call. So Attorney Charlie bought the building shortly thereafter, and he said he didn't really want to talk about, you know, what had happened in the building, and he was afraid, you know, if there was something there, he'd scare off potential clients. But people were coming to him for appointments saying, who's the little boy in the yard? Who's the little boy at the top of the stairs? Who's the little boy sitting in the chair over there? And when they said something to him, he'd say, yeah, they're here. So he kind of kept this story, you know, kind of under the roof for a number of years. And he said, you know, now I'm retired, you can go ahead and tell it. And he sent me scans and newspaper articles, and that was all really cool. But 2 years later, I'm doing the same tour, and this guy says, I now rent out Attorney Charlie's office. He still owns the building, but now I rent it out. And I said, oh, you know, have you seen the spirit of the little boy? And he says, yeah, but not in the way Attorney Charlie described him, because he's now downstairs in the basement wandering through 25 years of boxes of legal files. And he says that he's down there and he wants to play hide and seek with me. And he's like, I just don't like it. So I was excited all over again about the story, because now I had this different layer of what's going on there now, as opposed to, you know, what Charlie had been dealing with in the 70s and 80s. So I still do. I can't help but get excited at times, you know. Now it's like, oh, I've got something else, you know, on the same old story. You must have stories like that too, though. You get the different layers in there.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the more you work at a place, the more experiences you get. I mean, for instance, Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse. You know, the first time I ever went there was because you and Jeremy invited us in to do an investigation. And almost immediately we had people from the Coast Guard telling us their stories. And since then, you know, of course, I've become a member of Portsmouth Harbor. In fact, I'm the chairman of the board now. And we have learned more and more. We do ghost tours there. We've had experiences during that. And so we're building up a case file that keeps getting larger and larger, and we're getting a clearer picture of what's going on. So that's cool. In fact, speaking of that Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse, where's my book? On the 26th? Yep, 26th, we're doing a ghost hunt there, so you can get tickets from the Friends of Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse, and all the funds go for the preservation of the lighthouse. So that is on the 26th, and we'll be doing investigation for Constellation and the lighthouse, so, which is rare because it's on a Coast Guard base, and especially since 9/11, that they really have clamped down on that. But they're really great and allow us to do this to raise money for the lighthouse. So check that out. You can get that on my website as well, which is nghostproject.com, the letter N, the letter E, ghostproject.com.
And if you haven't taken that tour, you really, really need to go and check that out, because the location is absolutely gorgeous, and certainly every time that I've been there, something has happened. And I know there's been a couple of occasions where, you know, we were over there pretty late and I couldn't sleep when I got back to my house because I was so excited about what's going on over there. And and of course, it's for such a great cause. And, you know, I know you guys have been doing this, God, what, no, 10 years has been going on over there? The tours of the lighthouse, the ghost tours?
Oh, my God, you're right. Absolutely right. 2005, yeah.
That's pretty
awesome. But you did the first tours there. That was before me.
Well, you know, and when I first came up with those, it was really just kind of like, oh, this will be fun type of thing. I had no idea how, you know, how far reaching that would be. And, you know, I'm so happy that they continue, because even people that come on my tours comment, oh, you know, we're planning on taking the tour over the lighthouse, or we just did the tour at the lighthouse, and everybody has something to say. So I like that there's this case file that's building over there. Do you get excited when something new happens over there, or are you just like, oh, it's just one more thing at the lighthouse?
It's kind of interesting. I don't get excited, really. That's the problem. And when I do this, it's just so, I was going to say clinical, but it's so matter-of-facty that I saw on a tour, I saw a full-body apparition, and to me it was like, cool. You know, it's like, right in front of everybody, I said, like, oh, wow, you know, I mean, when I told the story and everything, what I just saw, and they all looked and everything, it's like, wow. But it's, you know, to me, and I've done this through ghost hunting all the time, and even working with Maureen Wood as a trance medium, and had some very interesting moments with her, I've always been that way, just that very level, not getting really excited about anything.
Well, and, you know, I think that there is I can definitely an appreciation for that, too, because you're there and you're collecting the information and seeing what happens, and it is another layer. I don't know, sometimes I know I've been doing this for so long, and I still get excited. I can't help myself.
No, it's different personalities. That's all it is, really. I mean, when I go back, I think, that's cool. Wow, you know. But, you know, and I don't go like, oh, my God, you should see what I saw. I was like, it's like, you know, it's just the way it is. It's, you know, when that book came flying off the shelf and people screamed, it was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Shoots, I didn't get to see it, though, because it was behind me. So, I mean, it went by me, but that's all I got to see. So,
it went by you, it went by you.
The book from the shelf. And what I talked about earlier, one of the things, it flew by me, You know, everybody saw it go off the shelf. I didn't see it go off the shelf, but I saw it go by me into, and I certainly saw the reaction of the audience that screamed and jumped. And so, but that's like, oh, wow. And I was just upset I didn't actually see it leave the shelf.
Oh, yes, that happened to me at one of the houses in Portsmouth I was doing a tour of, and I had my back to the house, and everybody was standing in front of me looking at the house, and they all saw a woman in the window, and by the time I turned around, she was gone. And they were like, oh, yeah, she was standing up there in the window, and I'm like, oh, come on, that, you know, this is what I do. Are you kidding me? I just missed that. So yeah, it's funny that you're there, and I always tell people it's, you know, for me sometimes it's when I least expect it, you know, like when I first got touched by Elizabeth or anything.
Yeah.
I don't see it coming.
Yeah, and I think that's the cool thing about it. To me, I think it's so much cooler when you're not looking and it happens than you know, if you're looking for it and it happens. It's just, wow, it happened. Well, that was cool. You know, versus, oh, darn, when's something going to happen, you know?
No, that's true. And you know, there's always this little faction of people that, you know, I start the tours with, and they're like, so, you know, I brought my camera. I watch all the ghost shows. Exactly how many pictures of ghosts am I going to get on tonight's tour? And I'm like, you know, you really can't always predict it. And
nope.
That's in my instance.
No, they're not trained monkeys.
No, and I sometimes feel that people think they are. They're like, well, you know, if you're saying this place is haunted, then why aren't they here now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, they're not always there. And, you know, some places we talk about, you know, it may be once a year, it may be once every couple of years that people see or sense something. Then we have other places that are more active. I think there's just a variety, but you get those people and they're like, well, nothing happened right now. And I'm like, you're here for, you know, 5 minutes in front of this building.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of
knows.
Funny what some people expect.
Well, it's all because of those stupid shows on TV. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I've done ghost hunting for years, and you sit and wait for things to happen and for hours and hours. And of course, you see these shows on TV, they've got to get it all in an hour, so they're going to have a lot more things happening a lot quicker. But in reality, it's not the way it is.
No, and sometimes, you know, you've got nights where you don't get anything, and, you know, you go back, you know, two or three more times, and then you get something. It's, it's a total misconception that's out there. I mean, luckily with Elizabeth, you know, it's different. She's not, you know, the ghost wearing a sheet rattling chains in an attic. She's a person that's there. As bizarre as that sounds to some people, she's a person that's there. But, you know, in the houses, depending on what kind of haunting it is, you can't just snap your fingers sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I am excited for Spirit Quest next week. I'm getting all my goodies together and finishing up my presentation. And, you know, again, it's anyghostproject.com if you want to get tickets for that. You really, really, really should go. That's the perfect way to kick off the Halloween season, because Halloween's not just a month in these parts. It's an entire season.
Yeah, you can just come for the day. You don't have to go for
You
don't have to go for the whole weekend. Just come for the day, too.
Yeah, so which day will you pick? Which day will you pick?
Right.
Because there's so much going on, which is really
absolutely
cool. Well, thank
I had that
you
happen.
So much for... Oh, no, go ahead.
I had that happen last
year.
Somebody
happen?
Signed up for a Friday event, and they had such a good time, they ended up going for the Saturday, and then they said, wow, hell, man, so I'm like, get to go the whole Sunday. So they just enjoyed, bought the whole weekend. So there you go. So anyways, thank you so much for having me on, Roxy. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And is there anything that you wanted to add before we close?
Nope, not at all. Visit my website, anyghostproject.com. There you go. And catch
and
Roxy
your weekly
on...
radio show?
Yep. Well, it's all on the website, but Ghost Chronicles Next Generation, Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition, Ghost Chronicles International. Go from the website. They're all on there anyways. And, of course, Roxy also is my co-host at times on the Morning Edition.
Yes, we have fun. It's early Monday mornings. We're down there telling ghost stories, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his two books, Ghost Chronicles and Ghost Today,
yep,
which are on
right.
Amazon. Okay.
And yes, they are. And Ghost Chronicles 2 is on its way.
Ooh, can't wait. Well, thank you everyone for listening to tonight's episode of Healing Spirit and Beyond, Tales from the New England Ghost Project, with our special guest, Ron Kolek, New England's own Van Helsing. We'll be back again next Tuesday night. My co-host will be back online with us as she returns to Sleepy Hollow, hopefully with some amazing stories. So we will talk to you soon, and stay spooky, everyone. Good night, all.